It's that time again for the Ira Kaufman podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com, featuring the custodian of Canton himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman, everybody's favorite rabble-rousing columnist and podcaster and the only Hall of Fame voter representing the Tampa Bay area, which is why we one reason why we love him so much. Of course, Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Start your vehicle search at EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ira, that's the only luxury dealership in Brandon. And we're going to talk more about them at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa later. Of course, I'm Steve Isbitz with Lee DeKemper. We're the tag team at JoeBucksFan.com. And you complete the trifecta, Ira, as the sage with 53 years of experience covering the NFL, heading to your 51st Super Bowl as a veteran reporter.
Steve, I'm proud to say that the three of us all survived that powerful squall line that came in the other night. But here we are talking about a Buccaneer storm of an offseason. A lot to talk about, my friend. Plenty.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you see, it never ends. It never ends. The magic of Bucs football never ends. I'm going to throw this right out at you, Ira, and then Lee. Lee will give me his take. Ira, 6-10, the Falcons were 2 years ago. 2 years ago, 6-10 with Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith at the helm. And now they're in the Super Bowl. And what is that message to Team Glazer, the Bucs brass, and fans when the team in your division goes from 6-10, where the Bucs were last year, and they're in the Super Bowl 2 years later?
It shows you better put points on the board, gentlemen. That's why the Falcons are going to Houston. Let's not have two bones about it. Atlanta's defense is middle of the pack. They've made some strides. Of course, the irony is Dan Quinn is a defensive coach. But the Falcons, Lee, they averaged 33 points a game. They led the league. Look what they did in their two playoff games. They ravaged both teams. Green Bay's defense is not, the steel curtain, but it's okay. I think Atlanta could have put up 600 yards and 55 points if they really wanted to. It is a beautiful offense. I've been touting Matt Ryan all year long, Lee, for MVP. I didn't understand all this Brady love. Ryan's been as good as Brady, didn't miss four games. Shanahan's going into 49ers because of what he's done here. Guys, this is a year of offense. Last year, Carolina and Denver met in the Super Bowl defense. This year, points on the board. And if you read my column this week, gentlemen, my early column, it's all about the Buck lack of explosive plays, and Atlanta was masterful at explosive plays this year, and that's why Dirk Cutter's talking about it so much.
Well, there's three reasons I could think of between the Falcons and the Bucks. By the way, unless something untoward happens to Matt Ryan between now and a week from Sunday, and credit to Matt Sinn, our Steve and I, Joe Bucks fan. He's a friend of ours. He used to be a news producer at Channel 10. He's now in frigid Milwaukee, assistant news director at the CBS affiliate up there. He twittered me this. The first snap Matt Ryan takes a week from Sunday will make Jameis Winston the lone quarterback in the division not to play in the Super Bowl. I'll give you three reasons
why. Well, let's remember, Winston's had only two NFL seasons. Let's remember.
And it shows you this is a league of quarterbacks and teams that have gotten to the Super Bowl. Three reasons. Number one, the Falcons have Sanu. The Bucks have Bernard Reedy. Number two, the Falcons have Devontae Freeman. The Bucks have Charles Sims. The Falcons,
will we go the next year without a Charles Sims reference from you, DeKemper?
No. The Falcons have, his name escapes me, the other Tevin Coleman. The Bucks have a drug-addled Doug Martin. There are your reasons why the Falcons are succeeding and the Bucks are watching on TV.
So, Ira, what kind of pressure has this put on Team Glazer with $63 million in salary cap money, the knowledge that you can win now, you don't have to wait, you don't have to play Lovie Smith's game of we're building forever. You got a team 9-7, $63 million in cap room, plus there's other guys that they can get rid of and get more cap room, like Alteron Verner and J.R. Sweezy. Is this added pressure? With the Falcons being like this now, is this added pressure on the organization to take more of a win-now approach?
Let's lay it on the line, Steve. It's playoffs or bust. We're not going to go into next season like we did last April with Buck fans saying, 8-8 doesn't sound too bad. 9-7 would be fantastic. You got to make the playoffs. There's no excuse. You got a young core of players who are supposed to get better and led by the tip of the spear. who you dub America's quarterback, the Kemper, which I believe
was—I
believe that was 3 years premature, but we will see.
You don't know anything about internet traffic, sir.
playoffs are bust. If you can't take a step back, or jobs are going to be on the line. Jason Light, for instance, has not been extended to our knowledge. If he has, the Bucks haven't announced it. We think he's going into the last year, maybe with a Buck option for year five. So. A lot of pressure on Jason Light based on what he's done in the draft, gentlemen, since he's got here. I put a lot of trust in Jason Light in the draft. But you're not picking number five anymore. You're picking 19. That's the price of success. You don't know who's going to be available. Maybe the guy you want, you might have to move up for. We saw how that worked out last year, guys, in the second round. We don't want to go through that again.
But to be fair, year prior, look what he, you know.
Yes. Steve, yes, a lot of pressure. No reason to think that 9-7 is going to be good enough, or even 10-6. You got to own this division. And with Atlanta losing Shanahan, which it looks like they will to the 49ers, that's a big chunk for Dan Quinn. That's a big blow. We'll see how he can fill that. I think Shanahan, and I'm going to disagree with the Kemper.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Matt Ryan had some good pieces. Julio Jones is about as good as anybody.
Yes.
You like Antonio Brown, you like Julio Jones. That's a tough argument. Who's the best? You know, and Mike Evans is right there in the notch below.
Yes.
But nobody ever heard of these other guys, these tight ends. A good quarterback and a good system makes everybody around them better. That's why Drew Brees is going in the Hall of Fame. That's why Brady's going in the Hall of Fame, gentlemen. They make everybody better, and Atlanta spreads you out, and you don't know who to focus on. So I think it's more scheme and Matt Ryan's ability to disperse the ball, Lee, than all these fabulous weapons. If they were playing for the San Francisco 49ers, nobody would be talking about some of these guys.
Well, here we go. Speaking of disagreeing, this guy across the table from us, Mr. Isbitz, he wrote about Sanu last year. How the Bucs could get Sanu, did you not?
Nice pickup.
Oh, sure.
Nice pickup.
Sure, absolutely.
And as
absolutely.
Far as Devonta Freeman, the state of Florida saw the guy. He was the number one running back on a national championship team. And then you got Charles Sims, who played in a gimmick offense at Houston. And then when he did go to West Virginia, a middling team in the Big 12, I mean, the defenses in that conference are softer than a newborn kitten.
I just don't believe that the addition of Mohamed Sanu has elevated by itself Atlanta's offense into one of the best units we've seen since the greatest show on turf.
Look, one of the reasons Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith got fired is because they were trotting out the likes of Jeremy Trueblood on their offensive line.
Yikes.
Their offensive line was disgraceful in Atlanta, just dreadful. So they draft Jake Matthews with their first-round pick.
And they fortified a center position.
And they fortify center this past offseason with Pro Bowler Alex Mack. And the guy at right tackle, I forget his damn name, he was an undrafted guy that Dirk Cutter molded and loved, even spoke about him saying, man, I love that guy.
So they developed him.
They developed him. And this during this season, that's a right tackle, they re-upped him mid-season to a huge deal, like six, you know, beyond Dotson money. That it's their transformation is the offensive line, is the running game, and when you have these solid weapons, which includes Sanu, that the Bucs could have had if they woke up and didn't flush money down the toilet to guys like Vincent Jackson, who just assumed that they had enough weapons with Lewis Murphy coming back and the Kenny Bell mob and all this lunacy.
But let's remember, Ryan has played at a fantastic level.
Yeah, my point is, though, the O-line, I think, is probably the biggest revitalization of the Falcons, which is what leads me to believe that even without Shanahan, they'll probably be pretty darn strong because they got so much there. Gosh.
Ryan's been tremendous this
year. I always
thought
he was underrated. You know, people in national media used to mock him. I never got that.
I think people were down on him a year ago in Atlanta. They thought he was regressing. That first year with Shanahan didn't go so smoothly.
Why did you think the Falcons weren't be a good team this year? We argued about this earlier.
We did. You know? We did. Yeah. I had no idea they could put together an offense like this. You know, that's why he's going to win the MVP. That'll be two straight years a quarterback from this division has won the MVP.
Maybe it's just me. This offense is not surprising to me. They had the weapons. I mean, did I expect it? Of course not. But I always thought Matt Ryan was underrated. I always liked Devonta Freeman. Like I said, I wrote about this Monday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. And this is not a knock on the Bucks. It's a knock on the NFL. I saw Devonta Freeman in college. How Charles Sims could grade out a full round better than this guy, I don't get, unless he was a rotten interview or unless NFL teams dug up something in his past that spooked them, which is very possible. But I was at the Falcons, and I was Julio Jones. Everybody knew how talented he is. So this really isn't shocking to me. Surprising, yes. Shocking, no.
They've had one bum game this year, the Atlanta
Bucks?
Offense. I think it was against Philadelphia. They got beat. They only scored 15
I
points.
I mean, you see the. We all see the ease with which they're scoring. I mean, good luck, New England. I mean, I really feel that. If I had to say right now, I definitely think the Falcons are going to win this.
If they were playing anybody but a Belichick, defense, and he has 2 weeks to prepare, I'd agree with you, Steve. If anybody can stop that Atlanta offense, it's a Belichick scheme. It's difficult.
A lot of weapons to prepare for. I mean, you can't do what he did to Antonio Brown, just shut out one guy and you know, obviously Le'Veon Bell got hurt, but this is a very
difficult. You've got to have five or six good defensive backs to cover these guys.
Here's a great point that your friend Greg Bedard made of Sports Illustrated. Scott Pioli and Dimitroff are going to be in Shanahan's ear. This is what Belichick's going to do. This is what he's going to look for. Ba, 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 ba. Never thought of that before. That makes a hell of a lot of sense. So Shanahan is going to be probably as well prepared against a Belichick defense as any other team has been.
Let's remember, New England led the league in scoring defense, Steve. Nobody talks about it because all the focus is on Brady and Belichick. But they had the stingiest scoring defense in the NFL. It's going to take that to stop this juggernaut in Atlanta. This is the best offense in my mind that I think I've seen since the greatest show on turf in terms of spreading you out. And don't forget, they've already got a Hall of Fame lineman with a bust in Orlando Pace. Kurt Warner and Isaac Bruce are finalists this year, battling against John Lynch. That's three guys.
Falk.
Falk. That offense was riddled with Hall of Fame players. And I dare say, if Matt Ryan quit today, Julio Jones might be the only guy that's going in the hall. And even he's got to have a few more good years.
Sure. Well, they still have time to go.
They do. They do.
Maturing as an offense. All right, Ira, your podcast, of course, is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. And we're also so grateful to our other friends here at Hooters, where, of course, we're just enjoying the view.
The waves lapping up the dock over here, Steve.
Enjoying the view at Hooters of Port Richey. Just really having a great great time being so well hosted here. Food, can't wait for lunch. Can't wait to watch you smile over your plate of food.
I can't wait to see you, put your hand in your pocket over there. As Vince says, a rare occurrence like Haley's Comet over there.
but, of course, again, Port Richey Hooters right here off U.S. 19 in Port Richey on the waterfront. What a hidden gem that shouldn't be a hidden gem. Come on out here.
If I could buy Dungy breakfast, this bit, you can buy me.
All right. Hey, calm down. All right. let's, of course, shift over. I got some notes on what we were talking about. But for now, let's shift over to John Lynch. Ira, this podcast goes on, pops on Tuesday. And so that means we got 11.
I've got a little bit of an update.
11 days. 11 days. You will be presenting John Lynch for shot number four to get in the Hall of Fame, critical with what's coming down the line with Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, and just really stockpiling other great players in the mix. What's the latest?
All right, here's the latest. I bounce back, Steve. That's my mantra. I bounce back. Now, I reached out to Bill Belichick two different ways because he was very helpful in the Warren Sapp presentation. He gave me something on Sapp. I ended the presentation with the Belichick quote. It reverberated throughout that room. The poor sap that went after me had to do Michael Strahan. He didn't have a Belichick quote.
No pun intended.
So I reached out because I know he's very fond of John Lynch, and I believe that he invited Lynch to New England, after his playing days were over.
Well, Lynch played the preseason there of 2008 and then retired.
So for whatever reason, Belichick declined, and he said, I'm going to let Tony Dungy, give you the quotes about and I don't usually talk about guys that I didn't coach. Well, he made an exception for Sapp, but he didn't make one for Lynch. But I bounced back, Steve, and here's what I mean. Mr. DeKemper, who never misses anything on Twitter, noticed that a couple of weeks ago, Peter King, who DeKemper describes as beer-guzzling, chicken-munching Peter King, made a remark that, hey, we as a group, we have to acknowledge the safeties. We've done a bad job. So let's get on board with a guy like Brian Dawkins. Now, nothing gets past DeKemper. So that caused alarm bells to ring in the DeKemper household. He immediately informed me, hey, Peter King's pushing, Brian Dawkins. You better do something about this. So I mobilize, Steve.
Mobilize.
And what do?
How do you mobilize one person?
I mobilize and I hit up Tony Dungy. I hit up Tony Dungy after my breakfast with him. And I reached out and I said, Tony, you're tight with King from your days with NBC together. He goes, absolutely. He was not aware of King's tweet about Dawkins.
Nice.
And he said, I will take care of business. I will straighten out Peter King about everything he needs to know about John Lynch. And, you know, Dungy said something to me on the phone, and I really think this is critical.
Hold on, Ira. Is that a direct quote? I will straighten out Peter King?
I will straighten out Peter King.
Okay.
And who better than Dungy to do it, Lee? And you know, Dungy said he doesn't think, and I think the three of us have to agree on this, that Dawkins is not, you know, at the strata of a Brett Favre or a Barry Sanders, that you don't care who's ahead of them. They go to the front of the line.
He's just a vocabulary lesson every week.
Strata. There's your words. You said balustrade the other day, and I said, wait till the podcast. And there's more to come, Steve. There's more to come. And you know what? Dungy's right. Brian Dawkins was a heck of a player. But is he a no-brainer first ballot Hall of Famer? I don't think so. And
there's the first ballot politics again. First ballot pecking orders. I hate that stuff.
He's just not. And you know, there's a level within the level. Mm-hmm. There is. And you know, Sapp was a two-time All-Decade player. It's very rare, very very rare. I used that, you know, to back me up, and it really worked. My problem in that room is, and the Philly guy is going to mention it, and I don't blame him. Dawkins was an All-Decade player, and John Lynch was not. Mm. So I've got to answer to that, and that's why I'm going to lean more.
Ouch!
I'm going to lean more on how important he was to an iconic defense. And as good as the Eagle defense was, Lee, under Jim Johnson, it wasn't iconic.
No,
and the Buck defense was.
Yes, exactly. I got, you know, so a reader brought this up on Twitter this past week, and it springs to mind right away.
The same reader that slapped me around the other day for the salary?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
And it's scone-loathing Peter King aside. Do you have a time limit on your presentation?
I do not. But my opinion is if you go too long, it works against you.
Sure.
Diminishing returns.
Because people zone out.
Tuned out.
I'm looking in the 6 to 8 minute range. 6 to 8 minutes. Now, I got to sum up a man's 15-year career in 8 minutes.
I was going to say, I was thinking it might have been more like 12. But okay.
No, Steve. You know, as loquacious as I am, and they call me the closer, I don't want to go too long. Because, look, this is the fourth time I'm in the room talking up John Lynch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to get old in that room.
Don't be repetitive, so you got to come up with something new.
Now, here. I do go after the guy that goes from Dawkins and after Ty Law because it's grouped together by alphabetical. Mm-hmm. So I will hear the Dawkins presentation.
Now I know why.
And I can make an audible if I don't like what I hear.
Can I say this? That you through channels, reached out to Belichick? Can I say that?
I did. I did reach out to
Belichick. Okay, I want to make sure that was kosher.
I did.
Well, when you said Ty Law, I had an epiphany. No wonder he didn't reach out.
You know, that's a great point, Lee. I didn't even think about that. Belichick didn't want to be quoted on John Lynch, and I didn't even think of that. But he's got Ty Law, who he coached on, you know, in direct competition.
Well, who knows? Who knows with Belichick? You could eat. You know what, Ira? You still got 11 days. You could still try again.
No question about it.
There's different sources, different angles. You know,
believe me, I've got plenty of big time players talking about John Lynch. Oh,
I believe you, big time. All right, Ira. It's paycation time at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Paycation. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa today, Ira, and buy with zero down and make no payments for 3 months. Or lease 2017 CTS Turbo Sedans with zero due, only $459 a month. Sign and drive. Just west of 275 on Fletcher. Or click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. So many great deals there. Similar deals. But also paycation at EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com.
Let's admit it, guys. When we see a Cadillac rolling down the street,
we think Ed Morris.
We say, well, you know, I wish we had one of those, right, Lee?
Yeah, exactly. Who wouldn't? I got a Cadillac question for you. Speaking of Cadillacs, in a roundabout way, a Cadillac reporter, writer, longtime Hall of Fame voter, South Florida institution, Ed Pope passed away over the weekend.
Yes, he did.
Have any stories about Ed Pope maybe in the Hall of Fame room?
Well, I mean, I've read previously he's the guy who fell asleep. I believe.
He did. He nodded off.
I didn't read it from you. I read it somewhere else.
He did. He nodded off one time. I remember that.
But that's not his career mark.
No. I mean, that's not a hallmark of Ed Pope. He took it very seriously. Now, in my 10 years or 12 years in that room, he didn't have to present too many guys. Mm-hmm. You know, the Larry Zonkers, they've already been in. The Paul Warfields, the Greasies. That came in before
The Jay Fiedlers.
The Jay Fiedlers. But Ed Pope asked good questions in that room. He tried to be fair. And as far as his reputation, guys, he was the Tom McEwen of South Florida.
Sure.
You know, there's certain guys like that. And then at that era, certain people could run towns almost. Mm. And McEwen did it in Tampa. There's a guy, Sid Hartman. He's still going in Minneapolis.
Yep.
The guy's like 90 years old.
He's like 95 years old.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, he's incredible.
But Ed Pope was the man. And, you know, they named the press box after him.
Mm-hmm.
I put on the video of that. Shula made some remarks about him. And Shula didn't like the media, but he respected Ed Pope. That's good enough for me.
Now, isn't it urban legend that Pope told Joe Robbie to hire Don Shula?
That's right. Joe Robbie was talking about getting rid of the previous coach. And, you know, Ed Pope was sitting there. Hey, guys, who should I hire? And Ed Pope said, what about Don Shula, who was coaching the Colts at that time? And next thing you knew, and Shula found out about that. Mm-hmm. And I think he always had a warm spot for Ed Pope.
And he bought
and
a Shula steak.
Shula was tough on the media. He was difficult. But he respected Ed Pope. He did.
I mean, was he difficult like Belichick? Or
he didn't think they knew what they were talking about, you know.
So he dismissed him?
And the coaches of Shula's, you know, like a Paul Brown, that's the way they think. Bill Walsh might have thought that way, too.
Looked down,
a little condescending. We see Belichick. You know, I watched Belichick's post-game press conference.
Pointless.
Just awful. Absolutely awful. You don't get much out of the man. For those of us that complain about Dirk Cutter, we got nothing to complain about.
I don't complain about Dirk Cutter.
Who complains about Dirk Cutter?
Who complains about Dirk Cutter?
The man's a gem.
Well, he told Roy Cummings to shut up. I mean, he went over the line over there.
So you'd rather have Lovey sitting there repeat every other sentence? Simple as that. Simple as that. Come on.
I don't even know if that was over the line. I don't know. See,
I saw a smile when I looked at you that day.
Well, that's the thing with me, Ira. I think the lines, you know, if we talk a little media, the quote-unquote lines, they really don't exist. They're figments of mainstream media's imagination, and that's a problem. You know, and it's okay if the coach wants to say, hey, man, you know, and he didn't tell him to shut up. He said maybe if you shut up or
I can explain
know, something
it.
Like that. that's all in good fun. I had no problem with it. All right, Ira, 20 minutes into the podcast now, and I know there's people waiting, just absolutely waiting and yearning.
With bated breath.
You had your column on Friday, and you brought out the howitzer, the bow and arrow, and you slung some arrows at me and Lee on JoeBucksFan.com, and that's fine. You have a loose, free leash. There is no leash.
I love the freedom, gentlemen.
You do whatever you want, and we're cool with that, but you know, it was so powerful and so intense.
It was a broadside.
I had to write a post to fire back at you.
I understand.
And basically say, hey, look, your premise, to sum it up, your premise was Bucks aren't going hog wild in free agency. Anybody who thinks they are is nuts. It's not the Glazer way. And they got a lot of guys in the cupboard to sign long term, from Quan Alexander to the whole draft class of 2015, Mike Evans. And their Bucks are going to be prudent and patient. But they'll still play, but not this hog wild silliness.
And by the way, that's great news for Buck fans, Steve, because it means they have core young players.
Well,
we didn't have that.
Now, I'm not going to call it news. I'll call it your opinion. And that was the whole point here, Ira. Look, the point I tried to make is that the Bucks have enough money.
Your point is you can do both.
You can do both. You can break the bank for a couple of guys. The Adrian Petersons, if they believed he was of sound body.
The Deshaun Jackson,
whoever it might be, Clay Campbell, whoever you stick in there. So, in the wake of the Falcons 6-10 to the Super Bowl, I don't care about saving the Glazers money. I couldn't give a crap about that. And I think ultimately, being so prudent to sign guys later, or sign guys that you might need to sign. So much changes in the NFL. Guys get hurt. Guys fall off. They don't play as well, or who knows what. I think they have to take more of an all-in now mindset. Now, the question I have for you is on Peterson, and I want Lee to weigh in too. Lee and I really haven't chatted about Peterson. Let me set you up, Ira. Adrian Peterson, he's got $18 million due him next year from the Vikings. Vikings don't want to pay that much. That's pretty clear. And Peterson has talked about he recognizes that. So if he doesn't redo a deal, they'll cut him, and then he'll be free. Why wouldn't the Bucks look at Peterson and bring him in? And what's your thought in general on Peterson?
Well, you think you can get Adrian Peterson for $6 million. I think you're nuts. He's not going to go from 17 to 6. All it takes is one team that's interested in Adrian Peterson. I'm gonna be very careful with Adrian Peterson. His age, the wear and tear on the body, the chemistry of the Bucks is you know, I don't want to mess with it too much. Do they need a running back? Sure they do. Sure they need a running back. But you can get one. You can get one. Teams get running backs that are productive, that are 1,100-yard runners.
Devonta Freeman, fourth round.
I think Peterson's a reach, Lee. I don't think he makes a lot of sense unless you can get him on terms that make sense for the Bucks, and I'm going to stick to it.
I'm very leery of Peterson for on several levels. One, to me, this was a leverage stunt. His agent told him, hey, just mention a couple teams that we know they have salary cap room and might be on the verge of the playoffs, you know, trying to drive up the price. I mean, I'm too cynical. So right when I read Peterson's quotes, that's immediately what I thought was a leverage move by his agent. That's number one. Number two, talking with all sorts of different Bucks people a couple years ago, not recently, I'm talking a couple years ago, in general philosophy on running backs, they're spooked by running backs that push 30, much less 32. That's one reason why you saw Mr. Martin only get a two-year guaranteed contract, which is no longer valid. But Doug Martin, had he played 2 years with the Bucks under that formerly guaranteed contract, would have been 29. So that spooks me as well. However, and I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I always try. Last night I was watching Super Sports Sunday Spectacular Showdown, whatever the hell they call that on Channel 8 with Dan Lucas, and Roy Cummings is on there, your former colleague at the Tribune. And
Did Lucas tell him to shut up also, besides Dirk Cutter?
No, just the opposite. Lucas right. wants him to eat up time.
Go ahead.
And at any rate, Cummings said that, you know, this shows what free agents think of the Bucks. And that kind of opened my mind. Like, well, I didn't think of it, but it adds up. It makes sense. If Peterson's throwing the name out there, now let's pretend he was being honest and it wasn't an agent-driven scheme that he, you know, which cynical me, but that's what I believe. But let's pretend that was not agent-driven, that Peterson spoke from the heart, like, yeah, I'd like to play for the Bucks. Well, Cummings is suggesting that Peterson's saying that. How about other free agents? You know, you got the state of Florida. Who doesn't want to live in Florida? You got no state income tax compared to, what, 13% in California. The Bucks are on the cusp of winning. They have a quarterback. And I thought about that. Like, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
And I'm going to write about that later this week. So, you know, Peterson might be opening the door to Bucks fans. It's not just Peterson. It might be other free agents.
Maybe they're approaching that 2000 time in the cycle where they can attract Simeon Rice, Brad Johnson.
Ding,
they could
ding,
trade
ding,
for
ding,
Keyshawn
ding,
Johnson. You know, the Glazers always talk about a cycle, Steve. Now, in 09, we know where the cycle was.
I'll add Peterson.
Rip it up and start over.
I'll add one more.
They're far from that point now.
I'll add one more Peterson item. Well, let's say, like I said, from what I've been told from various Bucks people years ago, not under the current administration, but hasn't been recently. So maybe things could change. Maybe someone with the last name starts with G is tapping someone on the shoulder, which would, you know, this certain someone might be looking for a new contract, so he's going to abide by what the guy wants who signs his checks. Anyway, let's say the Bucks do get Peterson. Let's say they're infatuated with Peterson. That's a bridge guy. He ain't going to be around
right.
anymore in a couple years.
That's right.
That's a bridge guy. So that doesn't tell me the Bucks still won't go out and pursue a running back besides Peterson, whether that be a free agency, whether that be the draft.
Couple things here, Ira. Couple things. First,
I know something's coming.
Oh, there's a lot coming. I'm just steaming over here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. First, how many free agents, really, seriously, in history, turn down money to go play somewhere else? Very, very, very few. It is about the money.
I agree with 99%
that. 99% of the time. Last year, the Bucks, yes, they lost out on Charles Johnson of the Panthers, who said he came to visit One Buck Place as an aging defensive end and decided, you know what, I hate the Bucks, I love the Panthers, I'm going home. But other than that, it's so hard to even think of guys who actually really made some sort of non-money statement in free agency. So I just can't buy it.
You're saying it's not the ring.
It's the money.
It's the money.
Free agents go for the money. They all do. I don't even know anybody who didn't.
With Peterson's last contract, so yeah.
Who's arguing which is? But nobody's arguing which.
Well, you and Lee are implying that there's an era of attracting free agents. Simeon Rice, if you look him in the face, I'm sure he would tell you, I came to Tampa because that was the best deal. Now, you have the access to do that, but I guarantee it. And they didn't pay him very much. If you remember, he came here on a prove-it deal, if I'm correct. Is that correct, Adam?
I seem to recall the same thing.
Yeah.
But that was a team that was built to win. They were ready to win.
No, I understand. I understand. The other thing on Peterson, look, here's the thing. The guy is a once-in-a-generation kind of running back.
Was. Thank you, Lee. That was beautiful.
Okay. Well, those once.
You got us in stereo.
I'm glad I did. Because those once-in-a-generation kind of running backs, they last longer. Those generational guys, they play longer. The Emmitt Smiths, the other guys, they're able to contribute longer. And Peterson, who's 31 years old, will be 32. He also took a full year off from a pretty goofy suspension, so that puts a little more mileage on his legs.
He's coming off an injury riddled year.
I understand. I'm saying in the big grand picture. I'm just saying this: if he's cut, let's create the scenario he's cut. And Jason Light brings him in, and they work him out. Dirk Cutter knows that this business is about urgency, and he's not a bull crap kind of guy. And if he sees an Adrian Peterson who looks explosive out there on the field, and we know Peterson's work ethic and his physical prowess.
And his pride.
And his pride and everything else. If he comes out there and looks explosive, you know in your heart that Dirk Cutter is going to say to Jason, just pay this guy, cut somebody else if you have to.
He's going to be beating the table.
And that's going to carry some weight. And Team Glazer has seats to sell in that building. They know Adrian Peterson means one more night game on the schedule. You know that as well as I do. Everybody, the whole nation and fantasy football freaks everywhere who draft Peterson.
Saying they might sell some more tickets.
They will sell more tickets with Adrian Peterson, and they'll get another night game because the fantasy football crowd is going to be glued to AP all year long.
So the tickets will help pay for his salary.
I'm just saying that they have the money. All and right. if it's reasonable, let's say it's $10 million, you were going to pay Doug Martin $8 million. If you could get AP for $10 million and you have the money for a couple years, what's the harm? Draft his replacement. I agree with Lee. Draft his replacement too. But man, Dirk Cutter's going to say he's going to want that guy, Ira.
If AP comes here, hello, Hard Knocks. Between AP and Jameis, here comes Hard Knocks. Bears or no Bears. You're chomping at the bit to unload on Nisbets. You're literally sitting there, your jaw's going up and down. You're chewing on like a cow chewing on weeds. You can't wait to go.
Steve, what you don't want to acknowledge, what you refuse to acknowledge, is for the running back position.
Cow chewing on weeds.
I can't remember. There's a four-word or four-letter or three-letter with Cud is
cut. You mean cud?
Yeah.
You mean cannabis or weeds? We don't know what the Kemper.
Knowing
the Kemper, it's cannabis. But Steve, what you don't want to acknowledge, what you refuse to acknowledge, is that for the running back position, Lee, there's usually a big drop off with age.
Well,
and they go fast. When they go fast.
As I stated earlier, and that was the philosophy of this organization.
Can Light afford a $10 million mistake? When you consider what happened in 2014.
If he's got a Glazer tapping on his shoulder telling him to do it, that's a different animal.
I think it would have to be Glazer-driven. I don't think it can be
light-driven.
Yeah, I think it's Cutter-driven, and it skips a step to the Glazers. Because, and there's also the factor that he could end up on the Panthers. Panthers have an aging running back as well. I don't think they want that either.
To reinforce Steve's point, Dirk Cutter said this as an offensive coordinator. He's embarrassed about saying it because he used a four-letter word that is not, the FCC frowns upon, shall we say. But everything is window dressing compared to this quote from Dirk Cutter. Can I say the four-letter word on this podcast? I don't want to get our good friends at Ed Morris.
We don't want to encroach on the Pulaski territory.
I don't want to get Ed Morris upset with us.
I don't care. It's Ira's podcast.
Okay, here's Dirk Cutter's quote. The only thing people give a shit about are wins. Boom. That's all you need to know.
If Cutter said it, then you can say it.
And that reinforces what Steve said. Cutter, like someone said the other day on Twitter, came back at me like, Steve's talking about the window of opportunity for the Bucks to make a Super Bowl run. He's thinking 2 years. I'm thinking 4 years. Some guy went at us on Twitter saying, oh, no, the Bucks are so young. I said, no, it's not about age. It's about salary and salary cap. The Bucks have flexibility. And to quote Dirk Cutter, The only thing people give a shit about are wins. And you know what? If the Bucks aren't in the playoffs in the next 3 years, Dirk Cutter's not here.
Well, I agree with that, but I don't agree with that.
I hear you.
I don't agree that the Bucks have a 2-year window. I don't agree with that because
I say four max.
Well, yeah, maybe if Jameis Winston was 33. I mean, come on.
Salary
guys, he's just
room.
Starting.
We have to define window here. We're talking about winning a title and having the best salary cap flexibility to make that happen.
Bingo.
So if you look at the next 2 years, they got a lot of guys they don't have to sign. They don't have to sign anybody in last year's draft class in the next 2 years. There's a lot of buzz out there there's a rush and out there to rush to sign Mike Evans. Why? With the new labor agreement, they got him for 5 years, 2 more years. What is the hurry to give this guy money when you could get a different piece in? And Ira, this is what I wanted to ask you. When it comes to re-signing guys, Quan Alexander, Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, and Jameis Winston, do you have to sign these guys all at once because somebody gets pissed off? You got Marpet saying, well, why did Donovan Smith get a deal? Aren't the Bucks maybe better off just letting it all play out?
It's an interesting scenario, Steve, because in the past, you had McCoy in 2010, Levante David 2012, and then Doug Martin, which was, what,
2015.
Not 15. No.
Last year they re-signed.
No, but I'm saying drafted.
Oh, 2012, drafted. Yeah.
Okay. But they kind of went in order. Yeah. Now here you're talking about a draft class in 2014. And how do you differentiate between left tackle and Marpet? I think Marpet's the better player. I think you'd agree with me. Right now, Marpet's better.
Right now.
But left tackle has more value. So how do you do it? I'm with you. I'm not in any great rush to do it. I'm not in any great rush. To me, Evans is number one. Evans is first. That doesn't mean I'm doing it tomorrow, but he's going to be first. Along with Winston, Marpet, and Donovan Smith, and then, Quan Alexander. It's a good problem to have,
Lee. Sure.
It's a very good problem to have. And don't forget the one quote from the Glazers. This is from years ago.
Uh-oh.
And they're sticking with this. No player that they wanted to keep has ever left the Buccaneers. That is a very strong quote from Joel Glazer.
Isn't that true of the NFL?
No player that they really wanted to keep flew to coop.
Isn't that true of the NFL?
And I think Glazers hang their hat on that, and we'll see if that continues.
I'm sure they do, but it's a spin job. Look, Michael Bennett walked out the door. That took that quote out the window for me. Good football player. They groomed him.
Well, I guess they decided they didn't want to keep him.
Well,
that
could
be their answer. A mistake.
Right.
Mistake.
Right. They've never been outbid is sort of what the point was there, which, I'll buy that, but okay. Last thing on the two-year window that I was talking about, because, again, it's all subjective and relative. In 2019... Okay, so 2 years, if you look at 2017, 2018, in 2019, they don't owe any more guaranteed money to Gerald McCoy or Levante David, who will be sort of older players at that point. I think your two-year window is what you can expect out of the engine of your defense, which is Gerald McCoy. Do we expect three great more years out of this guy? Probably two is fair. Defensive tackles don't last forever. So I think it's now. I'd say not next year, but the year after is their prime season. But who knows? We're splitting it. But
I could see McCoy testing free agency for that third contract. I could.
But there'll be a new cycle, of course, because Jameis is so young, he's going to have several windows, just like Matt Ryan's got a very different team.
They're talking about extending Matt Ryan right now, right?
Exactly. All right, Ira. Lee, anything you want to close with Ira? You look like you wanted to hit him with something.
Well... I got to decide what I can smack you boys around this week, because every week I got to take the hammer out to you two gentlemen. Steve, I've been reading the comments, and we do read the comments.
A bad move, Ira.
And it's kind of split down the middle. A lot of people agree with you, and some people agree with me that don't expect life to go crazy. I use the word strategic. Steve, I never said they're not going to be active. but strategic, I think... I think the tier two guys are the guys to keep your eye on. Now, Calais Campbell, I'm not going to argue with that, Steve. You make a great point. They're going to get great intel on Calais Campbell.
He's backpedaling something serious here.
No.
Tier two. Let's
getting Calais Campbell doesn't mean they've gone hog wild in free agency. I'm not. I'm saying.
Why did you invoke his name then?
I think Calais Campbell makes sense.
Okay.
But I'm saying that you're not going to get Calais Campbell, Adrian Peterson, and DeSean Jackson. Forget those fantasy crazy fantasies, Lee. Rachel Watson should remain your main fantasy and get those other fantasies out of your head.
I do have something with Ira here. Now, you were mentioning about Mr. Facebook Live Antonio Brown. By the way, Facebook Live, to me, is what asset is that? I mean, you got guys, I won't even go into detail, but
I said Antonio Brown's era had zero influence on the game.
Well, I noticed someone had a comment in your column about that. You need to set aside the Bette Midler albums for a while and watch the NFL Network.
Go ahead.
There isn't a thing Belichick doesn't use to try to gain an advantage. I know it sounds cheesy, but I saw this a couple years ago on that great series that the NFL has, America's Game. I think it was the first. No. It was the second Patriots Super Bowl win when they played Philadelphia night before the Super Bowl. Of all the things to talk about, Belichick's up there at a team meeting going into detail about the victory parade that the Eagles have planned.
I understand.
He will use everything. And then on NFL Network last week, they have a bunch of expatriates that are analysts. They're all saying, this is playing right in the Belichick's hands.
Steve, maybe that applies to 31 teams. When it comes to Tom Brady, he treats every game the same.
I hear you.
It doesn't matter. That's why Brady's Brady. That's why he's the best quarterback of my life.
Brady doesn't play against Antonio Brown.
So
and the likes.
You don't need any more motivation if you're in New England. You're trying to make history in the Super Bowl.
So
history.
In 93 years, he's your best quarterback. Interesting.
wait a minute. You're taking me back to Otto Graham. In my lifetime,
Sid Luckman,
which includes Joe Montana.
I
believe Brady's ahead of Montana.
I got you.
And a lot of people disagree, but I got him ahead of him.
Well, that's like Rachel Watson and Jamie Hanna. I mean, with my gosh.
Do you see the similarities he draws that he pulls?
He goes right for the cheerleader roster.
I'm a Montana guy, but that's no slight on Brady whatsoever.
All right, Ira, a reminder, your podcast every Tuesday and Thursday on JoeBucksFan.com. People can find it, subscribe to it on iTunes, where it's exploding in popularity.
You're the one that monitors me against Pulowski.
Yeah,
and he's still on top.
On iTunes, your episode was the number two ranked, your last episode, and Pulowski had positions 1, 3, 4, and 5, and then you were coming back in.
When you're number two, you try harder. That's what Ava said.
There you go.
So I'm gonna try that.
And a podcast also available on Podbean. And this is the time of year for it to blow up because we have so much to talk about. Thursday's podcast. Extra special treat, I think. Bring a little bit more juice even than today. And
we had a four-letter word in today's podcast. Now, if I get a bump out of that could be a harbinger of stuff to come.
It was a quote, though.
It was a quote. No, you just used the word harbinger, too, DeKemper.
Well, that's not that.
Strata, harbinger.
Strata is impressive.
There you go.
All right, I'm going to use the word farewell as we exit the podcast, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We'll see you next time, Ira.